Theron.
Oh, stop. Sorry, we have to be serious now.
Yeah.
This is our last bit, and this is taking all of the tools that you're making that you've been testing in your scripts, and you've been building them, and now you've seen how to put help and all the good stuff in. Now we're going to turn them into modules.
Right, so now it's formal, it's safe, you're no longer embarrassed about it.
Right.
But you got to share it.
You're right. Now you got to share it. And how do you want to share this? Well, you want to share it the same way that Microsoft shares it. So we want to do it with modules. So module 9 is script and manifest modules. Now, if you joined us the last time, we did this briefly, but there's more to it, and so we want to show you some more about it. But we're going to start you off one piece at a time. First of all, here's what we're going to do. Putting your tools in one place, creating a module manifest. We're going to take maybe a look at a little custom view action here, too. That'll be fun. And
oh, yeah.
Getting that set up, yeah.
Ooh, ooh.
So putting your tools in one place. Look, guys, you've got this in the slides, but it's pretty simple. We want to create a module, and I want to show you how to make a module. And we're going to start off simple, and we're going to make it better and better and better. First of all, let's make it really easy. So let me do this. Let me launch my scripts in Module 9 for this. Take a look at mytools.ps1. And what I've got is I've got a few things in here, actually. Let me collapse the help down. I've got a function called that we made earlier, getComp info. I've got my set volume label, and I've got, I think, a couple of other ones. Oh yeah, great, the JSON Fun 1 and JSON Fun 2. So I've now got a collection of functions that I want to be able to let other people use, and I want to use, and I don't want to have to run this script every time I want to use these functions. So we want to make a module. We're going to start off with how easy it is to make a module. So watch, I'm just going to do my tools PS1. File, save as. I'm going to do this in module 9, and watch what I'm going to do. PSM1. Oh.
The strain of it all.
The strain of it all. And this is why we get paid the big bucks, right? We just made a module. So watch. I'm going to open up a new console. And I'm going to go out to, I'll just do it right from here. Import module, C: scripts, module 9, and I called it my tools, right? Not PS1, but PSM1. So I've now imported the module. Awesome. Get command dash module, my tools. There are the commands. I can run help. I can get help on the get comp info. I can now do get help on it and see all the help. There's all my commands. I can run these. This is great. This is cool. Well, this isn't that cool though when you get down to it, because it's very cool. I mean, I made a module.
I have to
import it every time.
Virtual modules.
I don't believe he's using the word again. I need virtual modules. I need dynamically loaded, I need virtual modules is what I need. So this is where we're going to have this conversation again. Now, look, I've given you guys this launch PS1, and what it does, it shows you if you need to manually launch a module like I just did, you can do it. Get command module, my tools, so you can see all the commands that are in it. And if you edit your module, one of the things you have to remember is you've got to remove it and re-import it in order to test things that are in it. So I've given you an example of that as well. But here's the thing. I'd like to put the modules in a correct place to put it. And if you joined us last time, you saw this, and I'm just going to do it this way. I was doing PS module path. Oh, wait a minute. Was that? No, I wasn't doing that. I was doing $ environment PS module path. And here's the thing, and Jeffrey pointed out, well, why don't we make this a little bit easier to read? So I gave that to you, the Jeffrey Snover trick. And so what I'm going to do is, can I just do split on that? Yeah, split.
Yeah.
And semicolon. Oops, he wants quotes. It in. Yeah, quotes. Quotes. So there are two paths that by default that we're looking at with this current logged on user. So we've got the System32 Windows PowerShell 1.0 modules path. And if you joined us last time, you heard us say, don't put your stuff there. That's not for you. Matter of fact, let me show this to you visually through File Explorer. This is where PowerShell gets installed. Windows, System 32, you guys all know System 32. And I'm going to go down here and show you where Windows PowerShell is. Version 1.0. Here you'll see that, and we're going to come back here in a little bit, but you're going to see here's where the executables are for PowerShell. And here is this folder in here called modules. And this is where you should not put your stuff. Don't put your stuff here. This is where Microsoft puts their stuff here. This is a sacred place. Don't mess with the sacred place.
I think you're doing this wrong.
Why?
Did you ever see that Kids in the Block skit where the guy says, he says, what did my mother say about salt and eyes? Don't put salt in your eyes. Don't put salt in your eyes. Put salt in your eyes.
Put salt in your eyes.
It turns out there's some psychology behind this. It turns out that as you teach someone something, right, and use a negative, right, memory goes into short-term memory. And then it makes a transition to long-term memory. It turns out, just statistically, that negative things do not make the transition to long-term memory as well as positive things. Therefore, they found if you have a safety program that says, don't forget your safety glasses, literally what happens is people, the first time they hear that, they hear, don't forget your safety glasses. But as they remember it, they remember, forget your safety glasses. No, seriously. So the way you do this is you always say the positive thing. Wear your safety glasses.
Oh, okay. So instead of me saying, don't put your stuff here, I should be saying, let me show you where you do put your stuff.
Yes, exactly.
So, and I'm going to bring up, I showed this to you graphically, but let me just show you. This is where you want to put your stuff. Do put your stuff under Documents, Windows PowerShell Modules.
You.
And I want to point out that by default, Windows PowerShell Modules does not exist under your documents. I'm going to show this to you graphically, although I do want to show you. I gave you guys kind of a quick scripting way to do this. Somebody yelled at me. Well, you showed it to us graphically. You should have showed it to us in PowerShell. Okay. Well, here's
okay.
One. Look at what I'm doing.
Okay.
Dollar sign module
is that
path.
Your Dick Van Dyke?
That's my Dick Van Dyke. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, that it is.
Might.
So I'm gonna run this, guys. I'm just going to show you what the code does, and I'm going to show you that the path. That's the path that we want. And what I've got here is module path is path 0 plus my tools. What this is going to do is, let me show you what module path now looks like and why I called it my tools. Here's the important thing. Under the modules folder, you need to name the folder that's going to hold your module. The folder name and the module name need to be exactly the same for right now. And so for right now, I'm going to call the folder My Tools, and I'm going to call my module My Tools. And so what I've done here is, how you do this in PowerShell is you can use New Item. I'm just going to give it that module path and tell it that it's a directory. So it created it, and it created the Windows PowerShell modules, and it created the My Tools all in one foul swoop. And then I'm going to copy the My Tools PSM1 to that destination. So lo and behold, I didn't want to let anybody down from the last show. I just showed you how to do it in PowerShell, but I'm still going to show it to you graphically. It's the reason I want you, because I just want you to get this. This is under users, and it looks a little bit different. I've logged in as a user in a domain, student.company. It's my documents when you look at it visually. There's the Windows PowerShell. There's the modules. There's the folder My Tools. And there is my module. Now, this is still pretty simple, right? But since it's in the special place where you do want to put your stuff. We're going to get in trouble because somebody is going to, the virtual module place. There's an MVP probably online right now going, don't you dare say that again. Since it's in the special place, watch what's going to happen is, let me close off all those, and let me open up a brand new one so you know I'm not cheating.
By the way, I could be wrong, but I think I get to do that.
You think you know what? Do you guys just hear what he just said? that's hilarious. He made up the virtual module thing, but he's actually allowed to do that. That's the best thing about being the architect. Oh, that's great. No, wait a minute. I'm pretty sure that I made up a term and gave you a term for a particular thing that you're working on, and you didn't like the term very much.
No,
not the Chihuahuas. That was good. No, Kimlets was good. My wife loves Kimlets.
I'm just establishing the track record here.
Oh, that's what it is. Yeah, it was the DSC thing when I came up with my don't call them providers, call them something really stupid and
Kachua-chuas.
And you went, are you good at training? Then maybe you should stick with that because. So I don't get to make up terms, but he does. So guys, you know what's going to happen here. At this point, I've just launched PowerShell. Since it's in the special place right now, that means it can be dynamically loaded, which means all I'm going to do is I'm going to do get comp info, and I'm going to hit tab. Oh, look, it tab completed. I don't have to import the module manually now. This is a beautiful thing in version 3. I'm totally excited by this because this makes me so happy. And boom, there we go. So this is the simple part to making modules in a nice, simple way. But let's do something here. Let's take a list here. Get module list available. And we'll see if we see my module in here. What did I call it? My tools. And for some reason...
Bottom.
I don't see my module.
What'd you do?
Oh, I did a get module list available. I expected to see a script module in here, but I don't see it for some reason. I don't know what I've done wrong, but I don't see it listed. Let me see if I can get it this way. Get module my tools. Okay, so this is what I want to show. It's a script module. You can see that the module here, my tools, and it'll even show you what commandlets are available in it. So it's a nice way to see it. Now, this is the interesting thing. This is a nice script module, and this is great. And I need your help with this, Jeffrey, and I think I have a slide with this. Manifests.
Yes.
Let's talk about what is a manifest and why do we have a manifest? I mean, what's the purpose to a manifest?
Okay, so in reality, a module is a directory of something that either has a PSM1 file or a manifest.
Okay.
And the manifest tells all the things that are part of that module. And so you can include a set of modules. You can have sub-modules. By the way, so this is, our modules are unlike some of the other people's modules. We looked at the way other people did it, and we said, yeah, that's really cool. And then we thought about it, and it's like, no, actually, that's not very cool. So, and so we, ours are much more sophisticated than theirs. No, so imagine you take a dependency on my module. I'm going to import Jeffrey's module. Now, because it's an ecosystem, I look around there and I say, oh, this guy over here, Joe, has a cool module, so I'm going to include it in mine, okay, just as like helper stuff to deliver my functions. Now, when you, using the other guy's stuff, the way, the typically way to do it, because it's easy, is when you include me, you right. also include them. Right? And so then, and it's actually kind of hard. You can't really tell whose are mine and whose are theirs.
Right.
You just get them all. Okay? So then you might take advantage of mine and theirs. But then later I go and I said, you know, Joe, he's actually not a very good programmer. I'm going to take advantage of Tom's stuff. And so I'm going to use Tom instead of Joe's. And Tom might have a different set of functions. And so I use them. Now you take, import me, new version of my stuff, and you break.
Right. Because I was still using Tom, Dick, or Harry, whoever we had over there.
The bad guys.
The bad guys.
Bad programmers, yeah. Okay? And so this was what we called an undeclared coupling, okay, that you coupled to there. And so our modules allow us to say, hey, here's my module, and I'm going to include all these other things, and I'm going to be very intentional about the things that you see and the things you don't see. So there you go.
Got it.
So that's what these manifests do. They do lots of things. That's part of what they do. They include other things to include. Now, just be clear, a manifest can be just the script file, or it can be the script file and formatting files, like type files and view files. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. There are processing that you can do as part of the manifest, which is to say, hey, when you start, do this initialization. And you can have a ton of data, like a data file. Okay. By the way, so this is interesting. Do you mind? We're going to talk a little bit about version 4.
Version 4.
It helps motivate manifests and modules. So here's a way Version 4, we have this cool new feature called Desired State Configuration. Mm-hmm. Desired State Configuration says, I just declare the world I want to be, I push it to a machine, and it makes it so. Good deal, right? Okay, how's that work? Well, it works. And so literally, when I push it to that machine, a WMI provider grabs that document and starts looking at it and says, okay, what are the resources articulated in here, and how do I go make them be that way? And so I take a look at resource number one, and I look for a WMI provider. If I find it, I say, hey, WMI, make it so. Makes it so. I then take a look at the next one, and I say, hey, is there a WMI provider for it? No. Okay, well, is there a PowerShell provider for it? Yes. Okay, call it, and now PowerShell provider is a module that has three well-defined functions. Get target resource, set target resource, test target resource. And so it has, I take a look at the resource name and I look for a module of the same name, and if it matches, then I call it and it makes it so. Yeah?
Yeah.
Now, I then take a look at the third resource and I say, do I have a WMI provider? No. Do I have a PowerShell provider? No. What do I do? And the answer is, you can go and you can register a depot. And we'll go to that depot. It's basically a REST API, an OData API. So this could be Linux if you wanted it to be. We call this REST API and we say, hey, do you have the WMI provider for this? Now, at this point, it's a PowerShell module that's zipped up. And we'll go and we'll grab that thing and we'll deploy it, and then we call the provider. We call this virtual providers. No, virtual modules.
Virtual modules.
Yeah, there it is. The page fault in the
there
module.
You go.
I like this virtual DSC. Anyway, so we'll bring in the provider and do it. Now, here's the thing. My provider is this module that has a script that has these three functions. But I mentioned that the module can be as large as you want it to be.
Right.
So imagine I said, in addition, I can, out of the box, I can do things like, on that machine, I want IIS, and I want these users and these groups, that sort of thing. But now imagine I want to be able to say, I want to have SQL with the following attributes set. Well, the way I can do that is I can put SQL in a module. Like, take the kit. Create a subdirectory, SQL.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Put the repository in there. Have a script module that says, oh, when to set it, take this thing and install it.
Install it.
Yeah. And then that's my module. So now when I go and I say, you're just a bare-bones machine, and I say, SQL should have the following attributes. It goes as SQL. What's that thing? WMI? No. PowerShell provider? No. Hey, you got a SQL thing? Yes. What do I have? Bonk, multi-gigabyte thing. It can be as big as you want. Bring that thing down, deploy it, call the script. The script says, oh, take this kit, deploy it. So that's some of the power of the modules.
And and putting a manifest on your modules helps describe them, and also a few other things as well. So
Versioning.
So take a look at the slide here. A couple of things. A manifest has an extension of PSD1. The file name needs to match the folder name because
remember there was PS1.
PS1.
PowerShell 1.
That's easy.
Then there was PSM.
Which is for modules.
Module. D.
D. Wait a minute. Manifest D. Manifest D.
Data.
Data.
Yeah. PSD files are data files. So data files are a subset of the PowerShell language used for expressing data. And so it doesn't give you the full capabilities of it, but it's also a constrained language that's very easy to secure.
And as a matter of fact,
it's not a security boundary. Let me just say that really quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Security boundary is a formal thing. It's a security feature. Apparently, there's a difference between those two.
Apparently, there is, because people get awfully upset about those.
Yeah.
So in this case, if you're going to use a manifest, the manifest name has to match what the folder name is, because you can include so many other things. Your PSM ones, all these other things that their names don't necessarily match, and they may be in different locations. Now, just to let you know that if this was manifest, when PowerShell loads, it could be looking at a binary module like mytools.dll, or it could be a script module like we're creating in here, PSM1. The commandlet to make a manifest is called new module manifest, and you can specify a ton of stuff for your manifest. As a matter of fact, let me show you. I gave you guys an example of doing a manifest. Now, let me break this down. I didn't want to have to type all this out for you, so I want you to...
Oh, you know what's a better way to do this?
What's a better way?
Well, just to kind of give them a feel for other things. Do, you know about New Manifest.
Right, new mantra, yeah. Manifest? Yeah.
So do Show Command on it.
Oh, okay. You want to do, let's
show
see this.
Command.
So, new module manifest.
No. Show Command. Show Command.
Show Command. Command. Okay. Show Command.
Space.
It's late in the day. I'm not even listening to you. What the hell's the matter with me?
Slash. Space.
Space.
New. Module manifest. Remember, we mentioned that Show Command is just this awesome tool to explore, and this will point it out. So take a look at this.
This is
the path. Aliases.
Yeah, which is, notice the star, is required. You have to do a path. And you can kind of see this with the example that I have up here. You've got to have a path. Aliases that you can export out.
Yeah.
This gives you a nice flavor for all of the things you can set.
Check this out. CLR version. So you might have a manifest that requires a different version of the CLR.
Right.
And so you can declare that here.
You can specify that. What I like is commandlets to export. So maybe you've got some things that are just helper functions and that stuff, and you can export these. You can give the normal stuff like author name and company name, copyright information, which is kind of what I started filling out up here for you as a path. And you can see I'm putting it in the right place called My Tools. I put in the author and company and copyright. This version of this module, and we can go down and do description, .NET framework version requirements. Now, we're going to show you here formats to process here in just a second.
Oh, and then look there. Help info URI.
Yeah.
Remember we mentioned that if you wanted to have formal help
and
you wanted to have update help, this is how we do. Remember, when you do update help, you say what modules you want to update the help on. So update help's all about modules. And what we do is we find the module, we open it up, we look at the PSD file, we look for this help URI, and if we find it, we downline load it, and if we don't find it, we say, what are you talking about,
dude? What are you talking about? So this is actually really cool.
And nested modules?
Nested modules, yeah.
Tom's a crummy programmer, so I'm not going to hide it.
So I'm not going to
show his stuff to you.
What PowerShell version is required? There's what processor architecture for this you want.
Oh, and then some of them, this one's interesting, PowerShell host name. So we have
PowerShell
quite a few hosts that are, like, will only work in ISE.
Right.
Like, actually, let me see. Let me see if I get this right. So let's see. Get command new, what was it, ISE snippet. Okay, that's in the ISE module. And I bet you if we looked at that manifest, we would see that because these snippets only work in ISE.
In ISE.
And so if you tried to run them somewhere else, actually, I have no idea what would happen. I could embarrass myself here.
Let's
see. New, all right, import module, ISE, bigger. It can't be bigger. Sorry. Oh, zoom. Zoom, it can make it bigger.
Ooh.
Oh, good. And there it goes. Where did it go? Come back. Oh, something bad happened.
Oh, no.
I never should have listened to you. What?
Sorry.
Bad production, guys. Stay away.
Yeah. Oh, did that work? Oh, I don't know. So apparently it's not correctly.
So apparently it's not, yeah.
No,
apparently we're going to let you do it right from the console. No, but that's good, where you can isolate it down to a particular host, like the ISE.
Yeah.
And in this
Switch
case...
to him.
Yeah. In this case, required assemblies. A lot of guys bring in DLLs from the .NET or from something else. I know I have a friend that works with Exchange, and there's some additional Exchange assemblies, DLLs, that he wants to make sure get loaded for his stuff to run, so you can do that.
We did just find a bug that I checked, and the module does not have that set up there.
You just found a bug? Don't say that.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll put it on connect, and then...
Yeah, and that's what you do when you find bugs.
Yeah, that's what you do. You put it on connect. Root module, and in this case, you can see that I've used root module to specify my script file. So let me show you what this looks like. I'm going to run this, and then we're going to open up what this manifest is so you can see it. So I'm going to select all of this. And I'm going to make my own nice little manifest. It says that it made it. And what we'll do here is, what do I want to do here? I want to show you this module manifest. So let me just do this. Where did I put this bloody thing? Oh, out at this path. That's where. All the way out there. Let me copy this path here real quick. And let me clear the screen, do a quick DIR. You can see I've got the PSD file in there. And what I want to do is I'm going to actually open this with the ISC. So PS, what was I trying to open now? I can't even remember what I was doing. My Tools, PSD. And so take a look at this. My Tools, this is the actual manifest. You can see what it generated. You can also see that you could go in and create a manifest that you like, that's kind of generic, that you could then go through and hand modify. So if I wanted to change the module version, I could run that whole manifest thing again, or I could just go in here and change the module version. We do assign a unique GUID to it, and there is a way to create new GUIDs right from the command line. But as you can see, I can go through this file and add in or make changes to this manifest. In this case, this is making my module more proper now that I have an official manifest. But I want to show you something that a manifest can be useful for other than just putting in my name and company. Take a look at something here. I'm going to call up PowerShell again, and this time I'm going to do the exact same thing. I'm going to do my get comp info, and I want you to take a look at how the screen is. I'm going to do get comp info, and I'm going to say computer name DC. Notice that PowerShell has put up the properties that I told it to put up and stuff like that. You know, it's done it in a table, and it's make, you know, you can make your own view. In other words, you can control through a custom view that you assign and use with a manifest what you want the output to look like. Now, I got to be honest with you, this is a little bit advanced and sometimes considered a little esoteric. I mean, I don't need to make a custom view because I'm going to let the admin do a select and property star or choose whatever properties they want, which is kind of the proper way to do it. But maybe I do want a default view because there's certain pieces of information. I don't know if you guys have noticed this, but here's one of my favorite things, get service. When you do this, you guys know that there's more information about a service than these three things. Have you ever wondered where that is controlled at, or get process? Look at get process. Oh, I love get process. Who decided that these are the things that I want to see and that I want to see them in a table? Who made that decision, and where is that decision made? I did. I made
Got a problem with that?
I So this part of the recording I'm going to use for every class from now on, because when I go, who made this decision? And people are going, somebody at Microsoft. He did. So now, so if you don't like it, don't complain is what I'm saying. Yeah. Let me show you
if you don't like it, let me give you Bruce Payette's home phone number.
Let me show you.
I'll have him tell me.
Yeah, really? Let me show you where the default custom views are. And there's a reason I'm showing it to you this way.
But wait,
way.
Can you, before you go into custom views, I was really bothered by that bug. It was a bug.
It is a bug.
Okay. Yeah. What happened was that they, in ISC, that's ISC, the module's called ISC, it only works in the ISC, but they had not added PowerShell host files. So I went and added it. I made a copy of this and I added it. So here's what should happen. So when I run it, I import it, and it tells me, yep, here's all the things I'm doing. But now, okay, by the way, so let's make sure, let's see. So cat this file. Sorry, it just really bothered me. Okay. So notice I'll say PowerShell hostname, PowerShell ISC host. By the way, if you ever wonder, it's $host, and there's its name.
Windows PowerShell ISC host.
Yes. Now, here, if I say $host, it's
console.
That console host. So I went and I fixed that. I fixed it. That code wasn't
was
there.
It wasn't there at all.
It wasn't there.
Oh.
Yeah. And so I just went and I added it. Now what happens is I'll say import module. /ISC, and it
and
says,
it
look at this,
way.
The name of the current PowerShell host is console host. The module, ISC, requires the host Windows
which is exactly what it should do. So not only could we go and connect and put the bug in, we could put the solution in, and it should just magically happen, right?
Bing. Yeah. So by the way, this is, again, one of those things where you declare what you want to have happen, and then PowerShell Engine does the work for you.
Exactly.
Standard error message that gets localized, et cetera, so you don't have to. Otherwise, you'd have to write the code that does this, or you have to generate the bad experience. Anyway, I'm sorry to interrupt
flow,
but it
that
really
was,
just like...
No, that was actually really important because, I mean, first of all, it shows a couple things. One, if you run into something that you think's a bug, go out to Connect and file it.
Yes, please.
Two, you know, there can be some bugs on some things that aren't necessarily working this way, and you just sat down and figured out what the issue was, and
bing.
Yeah, bing, now we're going to have it fixed. So let me just show you. Guys, this view is controlled. It was decided by Jeffrey and whoever. Let me show you where this view is actually stored. These views are out where PowerShell is installed. So again, I'm going to go out to, don't be moving things. I'm going to go out to... Oh, Windows, System 32. I spent a lot of time out here. Windows
PowerShell. So the positive way to say this is ensure the sanctity of the following locations.
Ensure the sanctity of the following locations. So I'm going to go into .NET types. Notice, see this PS1 XML? This is where the views are. And I'm going to open this with Notepad. Don't necessarily, if you're playing along at home, don't do this because I want to show you. I originally got into looking at the views because I wanted to change the view. Mm. I wanted to change what Git Service was doing or what Git Process was doing, so I was curious. So I started going in and looking at the views. Guys, this is XML, so it's kind of confusing if you're brand new to this. But let me do this. I want to find process. This is the one I always use. Not process module, but process. So let me show you an example. I don't know if you guys remember, but I'll show you real quick. This is the type of object that is produced when the get process commandlet runs. So if you do get process pipe to get member in the first jump start, this was very important to us to know so that we know what object it is. And now down here, we actually have, look, handles. Oh, well, you know, when I do get process, look, there's handles. Now I just lost my notepad. Notice they specified a width for it, what the alignment was, the next column header, npmk, they specified the, oh look, npmk, they specified the width, a right alignment, oh yeah, that's right alignment. This is where the columns are defined. And further down from the columns, these are all the column headers, then what fills the data, and something should look familiar to you. If you were in the first jumpstart, look how they're filling the data. They're filling it with, we made custom columns just like this. We did it in flight or by hand in the first jumpstart, but they've just simply written in how they're filling in the data in here. Well, this is totally cool. So I was thinking, go ahead.
You just exposed a deep architectural flaw that I'm hugely embarrassed by.
No, don't say it as so.
No, it's true. Yeah, so this was just a mistake, an architectural mistake. I made a mistake. We should never, ever, ever have allowed script blocks in the formatting files. And so I encourage you to never do that. We have not remedied that. I'd love to remedy that. Here is the basic problem. Again, we're trying to give you a world where you think, type, get. Okay, so if you take a look at the get process, in general, what we want to be able to do is to say that all the column headers are things that you can program against. And if you go type get process pipe to npm, or type to select a format table npn, npm, I think.
Npm.
Yeah. Nothing. Okay, I think it was an n, but. Even if you
spelled
it right, it wouldn't have worked. Because we calculated on the fly. And that's just the wrong way to do it. The right way to do it, and sometimes the reason why we did it, I mean, it was just a mistake, right? It was an architectural mistake. I never should allow that. And what happens is sometimes you have these property names that are really long, or in this case, you want to divide it by 1K or 1 megabyte or 1 gigabyte, and so you want to do that. The correct way to do that is you change the type system and not the formatting. Now, the reason why this is such a deep architectural flaw is that when I go to that machine, you maybe have seen the implicit remoting. I think we showed that
last time.
When I go and I grab the implicit remoting, I will grab the formatting information as well. Okay, I'll bring that over and I'll run it. I can never allow code from another machine to come over here and run.
Execute.
That's no. I take responsibility that says when I bring this over, it's safe. That's like Jeffrey Snover, take the badge out. It's safe. And if it isn't, I'll fire someone.
Which we went through in the first jump start, so.
No, and so it's safe. And so I can never allow that script code to be there because a bad guy might have written a formatting file with evil script code that then reboots the computer or steals your information, so I can never do that. So when I bring that over, we look for it and we throw it away. And so the formatting will be different if you use script files in remoting. So anyway, that's a little bit of background. I thought it was worth mentioning.
No, definitely. And so what I'm about to show you is something that he considers to be a mistake. So let me show you. Originally, I went in here because I wanted to change the default views. But guys, don't do that because at the bottom of this file, you're going to notice that this is not digitally signed. And so you're going to break the file if you do that.
Yeah.
You're going to break the file. So what I do is I usually go to the process section and I copy the process section and use that as my own template, which is what I did for you in here, just so you can see a custom view, okay?
Oh, aren't you nice.
So, I thought that was pretty nice. Let me go out here and show you. So here, with a view, wait a minute. Oh, I didn't show you. Where's the view? Where did I put the view? Oh, let me show you the view I gave you. It's out here. Wait a minute.
That's what you say.
Apparently, I'm full of crap. No, wait a second. I know the view is out here. Hang on. I know the view is here. Let me just do this. What is this? Scripts, module 9, because I wanted to show this guy, show this to you.
What view?
I did give a view view. So here's the thing. I called this view that I made called jsontypes.format.ps1xml. Now hang on before everybody starts yelling at me. I want you to see the view and see what it looks like because I copied the process block section and it's XML. And so I just copied it and then I just created what I wanted as a default view. I just did computer name and I did free space as column headers. And down here I did computer name as the properties and just the free space. Now I'm not modifying free space. I'm not doing it to making it 1 gig or anything like that. I just wanted you to see an example of a short version. So if you wanted to create something off of this, you could. And so what I need to do is attach this view. Now, to be honest with you, there are commandlets that I could say, attach this view, import my module and attach this view. But every single time you opened up PowerShell, you would have to update and reattach this view. One of the beautiful things to a manifest is the manifest will let you do it. So,
yes.
Let me just show you. Here's all of my stuff here and, a manifest with a view. So what I'm going to do here is this is the same manifest file I've done, only look, formats to process, and I'm going to give it the name of my view, but I haven't shown you something that is very magical here.
Yeah, you did a trick there. I saw
There's
that.
A trick. I want to show you. There was a modification that I made in my function. So my view, let me show you. My scrolling down capability I just lost. Down here, when I make a new object, type name PS object, and I gave it the properties, looky what I did. I inserted my own type name.
Does that work?
JSON.inventory. What do you mean, does that work? Yeah, that works. You don't think that works?
We're
going to find out.
No, I don't think that'll work.
You don't think that's going to work?
Let's find out. No.
Oh, okay.
Let's
do
buck.
This. Okay, you're on. Okay. You're on. So now, he's pulling out his money. So the first thing I'm going to have to do is I've got to create this new manifest, and I'm going to have it use the new view that I'm using. So he's got money. Oh, God, I'm
where's
in trouble.
Yours?
So where's my...
You can be good for it.
So I'm going to run this, and I've created a new manifest, and I think what I have forgotten to do is copy my view out. So... Actually, no, it should work right from there because I didn't give a path to it, but I just exploded
my... Have confidence.
Go with confidence. That. Okay. So let's go back to this. Oh, that's a PS1. I'm going to save this PS1 as... that's where I'm going to screw up.
No.
I need to have this as my tools.
That's fine. Whatever.
Oh, wait a minute. My tools PSM1.
Yeah, you're good.
I don't think I'm good because I don't think I have it modified over in the PSM
my
tools.
Okay, yeah, fine. Change the name. That's not where you screwed up. Keep going.
Oh, that's not where I screwed up? Okay, no. So let me go. Oh, don't do that.
This
don't
is the safest dollar I'm ever going to make in my life.
File. Open. That's not what I want to open. I want to open. Hang on. Let me just open and modify this real quick, guys, so that I can see if I've gotten close and I can earn a buck out of this. Windows. Oh, no, that's we did it under users. Student company. No. My documents, Windows, modules, my tools. I need to modify my PSM1. Let me just modify this real quick so that you can see. I'm going to put this guy in. And go down here and modify it. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do. And save it. And let's check my view. Look at my view. My view here that I have is JSON.InventoryObject. So that's how I'm identifying it. And lo and behold, we're about to find out if this works. Let's open up a new PowerShell console. Get comp info. Oops. Wait a minute. Get comp info. Uh-oh.
What happened?
My module is suddenly not loading. Well, let me see what I did with my manifest. Hang on, guys. Let's see. Path. My tools. I got to copy the view out there. That's why the manifest isn't loading. Let me copy my view out there real quick.
I'll tell you what. Why don't you show them that while I show them something else?
Okay.
Okay. So I'm going to show you something amazingly cool. Okay. So, views. Now, when you type get process, you see the view. And what happens is we pick a default view and we show it to you. But it turns out that there is this parameter, format table. By the way, so it's format table, and you could have done format list, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Okay, but format table, I could say, are you already?
I was watching you.
I could say my view, and I can specify a view. And the question is, well, what are the views? Well, there's a couple ways to find out, but the easiest way to find out is to go something like that, right? And you get an error, and it says, that the view, blah, 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 cannot be found. Specify one of the following table views, and try again. Process, priority, start time. Ooh. So let's try that. So clear system. And here, we'll do it for everything. I said priority. Priority. And look here.
Oh, I like that, yeah.
Right? It's a different view. Now, notice this is showing an issue. You have to be able to sort things first by priority through sort priority, CLS. And there you go.
That is cool.
Anyway, so I did that wrong.
Wait a minute.
Priority. Or sort it by start time, format table minus view, start time. And here, we don't have one. And these were all started. You know what? I rebooted right before the session. So they're all the same start time. But it would show you the different days that they were started.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is actually really cool. Okay. So I think I got my wagon fixed. So let me show everybody here real quick. So my module under my tools, here is the manifest, here is the view, and here is my script module. So I need to make sure that they're all copied out there. And just as a reminder, so I didn't, lose you on this, I'm going to do I'm going to run a new manifest for it, create a new manifest, and I'm adding formats to process, and I'm specifying the name of my view. Now, the view gets tied to my particular function. Let me show you.
Because, looky, JSON.inventoryObject, I added that as an object type, and look in my view. My view has type name JSON.inventoryObject. So if I've done this correctly and I win the magic dollar...
He hasn't.
I'm going to launch PowerShell.
By the way, I'm wrong all the time, so I'm not going to be embarrassed if I get this wrong.
Let's see if I can dynamically load the command or the module dynamically load comp. Okay, I got that. So computer name, and if I did this right, remember I only had two things in the view, computer name and free space. Let's see what happens. Oh, God. Oh, I win the dollar! I win the dollar! I win the dollar! Yeah. I totally win the dollar.
What the heck? Mm. That makes no sense at all.
Would you do me a favor? Would you autograph the dollar, too? Because it would get you a
pen
and
autograph. That makes no sense at all.
What do you mean that makes no sense?
Show me. Because you did it wrong.
I did it wrong? Okay.
Go to the code.
Go to the module code. Okay.
Here, let me show you. Here's where you got it wrong. CLS. I do not know how that could possibly have worked.
Okay, that's scaring me.
Dollar sign X equals GPS LSASS. Okay? So here's the thing. If you just do get type, we tell you the .NET type. Okay, that's very uninteresting.
Make sure you guys switch over to his machine because we can't see what he's... There you go, thanks.
Okay, so there you go. So there you go. I'm showing you the .NET type. PowerShell does not work on the .NET type system. It works on the PowerShell type system, which subclasses the .NET type system. We do everything based upon PS type names. Okay, so this is an array. Starts off with object, marshal by ref, component, then system.diagnostics.process. And there you can put any object. You used PS type names. That almost certainly should not work. So I'm not sure how it is that worked
really?
For you.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not certain about that either because that's the way
so perhaps that there's something tricky with the PS object that I'm not familiar with. But as a general rule, that will not work. You have to say dollar... Oh, by the way, so here's the way this works. So this PS type names... Sorry, PS type names. It's just an array of strings. And you can say insert, and zero, and then anything you want.
Right, which is pretty much what I was just doing, right?
Exactly. And then that is the key. And by the way, that's one of the reasons. By the way, so we use this string to be any kind of, to extend everything. We use it for views. You can dynamically add properties to this, et cetera. So if you've ever done this, get event log minus log name, let's say application minus newest, let's just say three, pipe to get member. Notice you're going to get three different things.
Three different things, right.
And why is that? And look here, that's the type. And so that's a little bit odd. So let's just take a look at one of those things. Sorry, let's take a look at one, newest one, $x equals get. So x.ps type names. And look what we did. Here is the .NET entry. And then we synthesize these things.
Right.
And
I
what
see,
this
I
means,
see.
So we tell you it's in the application log and the source. And then we tell the individual ID. And so what that means, somebody the other day asked us, hey, how do we parse the strings in there? And the messages. And the answer is you can dynamically add properties, register them for this log, for this log source, or for this particular log entry, and then you write the parsing once and then just access it.
Oh, okay.
There you go.
So anyways, guys, on the code sample that I have in here where I've set it up as PS object type names, go out to PowerShell.org and you will see a blog post in a couple of days and we'll come up with a better way for you or the reason for this, that kind of thing. And so we'll give you more information on this as we go out there. But is using it as a manifest example of adding a custom view. You've now seen that you can use manifest for a lot of things, and just as a custom view as an example, that's pretty good. Oh, you know what? And Jeffrey, they did it again. Did you look at the. Remember at the end of the first jump start? Look at what they're doing.
What?
They're trying to remind us. So if you guys were at the first Jumpstart, you got to watch end of the first Jumpstart. The production crew back here thinks they know something about PowerShell, so they put this teleprompter up to try to help us understand that they want us to remind you to do the survey that's below the video.
Yes,
and make sure you do the survey. You give us the highest score that you possibly can, because we need to beat Rick Claus, and that's what we really need. So do that. But you have to see, they wrote it on the screen as, what did do tell audience new survey with a comment? Actually, that was better than that was much better than the garbage you did the first time. So even the production guys have it down.
By the way, I found out why I was confused. You did it all sorts of wacky. Let me show you his code.
Oh, sure.
So here's the thing that confused the heck out of me. So this is just the wrong way to do it.
Oh,
that's okay.
Way to do this.
But it works, okay. So you still win the buck. So yeah.
That's all I care about.
He did PS object and object, and then he called the PS object. I don't ever teach people about that. This is rich stuff.
Oh.
Instead, what you do is you just go to here and you just say PS type names. That's the way.
That's
the best way.
Guys, screenshot this at home and look at this, because he's shortened it up and made it the correct way. So
that's fine.
There won't be a blog post.
No, right, multiple ways to do it.
There are
and
multiple ways
I learned
to do
one.
It.
I never would have thought of doing it that way.
Well then, I'm going to start thinking about doing it that way. So thank you, sir. That's awesome.
You
know what? This is funny. Let me catch everybody up. But custom views, you've got all of the sample code, everything, questions or comments. You know what?
I don't.
We've run to the end of
what?
This is
can
the
it
end.
Be? No. This seriously?
This is the blinky lights, everything.
Amazing how 16 hours just goes by like a flash.
So, folks, what we did today is we took you through getting started with scripting. And using that scripting capabilities to start making tools, right? And turning those tools into something that's useful, that you can solve your business problems with, using some best practices, putting in help, getting in parameters, validation for the parameters, error handling so that you can do error handling, and then bundling all of that into modules and creating a module manifest. Even regardless of how my custom view went off, you have the whole module manifest kind of thing. So this is where you get started on this, and this is great stuff to practice with. And keep in mind, at the very beginning of the show, you have the slides that we gave you some additional resources to go deeper into the tool making. The Don Jones Learn Windows Tool Making, or Learn PowerShell Tool Making in a Month of Lunches, and also there's a new class that's coming out from Microsoft on the Microsoft Marketplace that does tool making if you want to take a class
excellent.
On it. So this is really cool stuff. And you can get, you know, we've only had one day to go through this. There's a lot more that you can do. But you can also see that as an IT pro, this is something that's easy for you to learn to do. And you should do it.
And remember, you know, we started this saying, hey, each of us really has two jobs. The first job is to get the particular task you have at hand done. But the second job, and you really want to pay attention to that second job, is to solve that problem in a way that maximizes your integrated lifetime earnings. Right. And by learning how to do these scripts, by learning how to do tools, you maximize your integrated lifetime earnings. So you definitely want to be doing that. So remember, don't be a tool, be a tool maker.
Okay, great. Now, do you want, and on that note, do you want to send everybody out with the sign, the symbol?
Oh, yeah. Okay,
you want to give them a little story, or?
No.
Oh,
sure.
Okay.
Wanna?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
Well, this is we have a PowerShell summit. We bring people in. We like the world's best PowerShell people. We bring them in and we just geek out and we have a blast. And somebody, I don't even remember who it was, came up with the PowerShell gang tag. That's right. We a gang. Oh, yeah. We bad.
Oh, yeah.
So here's the gang sign.
Get it?
Stand.
Get
prompt.
It? Look at
prompt.
It. It's
prompt.
The power ship.
Prompt.
So love,
to you.
Baby.
Love, baby.
Love. It's a requirement. You have to do it when you go to the summit. It's
love.
All PowerShell.
Represent.
Yeah, represent. So, guys,
I don't even know what that means.
Going forward.
Angle bracket, underbar cursor.
Yeah.
type.
There's no to-hoo-hoo one, but this one, yeah. So, guys, going forward, make sure you practice this stuff. Come out to PowerShell.org in the forums and ask questions if you have questions, and you'll get awesome help out there. And once again,
PowerShell. You mentioned PowerShell. Community.org.
The PowerShell.org.
PowerShell.org.
PowerShell.org is replaced PowerShellCommunity.org. So Kirk Monroe, all those guys. So come out to PowerShell.org and ask your questions, and so you can get some continued help and you move forward with this. This is so very important, and you too can make tools. And, you know, once again, I want to say, it's been a true honor to be able to do this with you.
Right,
so
back at you, dude. This is a
blast. Thank you very much. This has been great. Thanks a lot, Jeffrey. You guys take care and stay in touch with us. We'll be out there trying to help, so you let us know.